Wake up, everybody. It's time for the best new podcast with the best new country artists in the world. It's time for Up and Country. I'm your host, Ike Everard, and join me for the next half an hour as I take you on a journey with one of my favorite new country artists.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into the first ever edition of Up and Country. I'm Ike Everard, host of Country Craze on Blaze Radio, online.com, ASU student radio station, and this is a new project I've been wanting to get going for a while. You know, a podcast where I can actually sit down and talk to some of the brightest up-and-coming stars in country music, and I had the chance to do that with today's guest, Cam Cummings. Cam is a former baseball player from South Alabama, and he's super talented. He'll tell you all about it. He grew up playing music off the Big Peach exit there in Alabama, and pretty exciting stuff. You know, he is really, I think, one of the coolest voices to come out in a long time. Actually got declined from The Voice, which he'll tell you why that was a good thing too. So without further ado, let's get into it. First ever episode of Up and Country here with Ike Everard. My conversation with Cam Cummings.
And I actually played baseball at South Alabama.
Oh, really? Yeah. How'd that go?
Yeah. It was cool. You go there with aspirations. You want to play pro ball, and then you get there, and you're all hyped up. You get to play at all these cool places, you know, and, you know, the big SEC names, and that was really cool. But that particular grind wasn't for me. It just wasn't my cup of tea, you know. After my sophomore year, I just kind of realized, hey, I probably need to, you know, try a little harder in school because I'm not really – I don't even want to play pro ball, you know. But it was a lot of fun, and that's really where I realized how much I love music. That was a good – one of the good side effects of figuring out that pro ball wasn't going to be my cup.
Totally. I feel like that's a pretty common path for, like, sports to music, but it's usually because of an injury or something, you know, where, like – a guy will get hurt and then he'll mess around with the guitar in his dorm room. But for you, it sounded more like a conscious choice that you made.
Oh, it definitely was conscious. Now, granted, I've been around music my whole life, but I never really pursued it and never really saw the value in it until, I'd sing around the locker room and my buddy's like, dude, you're actually not terrible. and I'd fiddle around with that and picked up a guitar and my dad, I was raised around music with my dad. My mom was always singing around the house. My dad was in bands always growing up, you know. He played guitar and he did that, but I never really pursued it until I'd probably say last June I went to Nashville and I went to open calls for The Voice.
Oh, wow.
I did well. To be entirely honest with you, there's no NDA anymore. I can talk about it. But I made it to the round where the directors, you know, the direction producers were there, and I did my little deal. And I got there, and they just simply told me, they're like, yeah, you're good. Your voice is great. You got the look. It's just – I don't have a story, you know. Nobody really wants to hear about a kid that had a pretty good life. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's hard to rally around somebody like that when there's all sorts of fantastic stories where people, you know, coming through hard times, or maybe they're on the street, things like that. You see that every year, and I didn't have that at all.
Right.
So I wasn't chosen there, and I respected that. You know, it's a business, and it's a show. So it's a reality TV show at the end of the day. But that was kind of validating. You know, it was a validation point for me. And it was like, yeah, I might be able to do this. And now here we are, and I got a few singles out, and I got an album written, and we're ready to rock and roll.
Yeah, I mean, I got to say, you definitely have the talent, you know, to make it. The two songs you have on Spotify are awesome. Let's talk about those a little bit.
Sure.
So what happens next? I really like that song. You know, it's got kind of that story to it and imagery that's really, really good. So what was the process behind that one?
It was obviously a good memory or a good time when I wrote it. I actually wrote it. I was with my ex-girlfriend probably junior year of college. That's right when I was trying to figure out how to, like, learn, you know, the chords and how to play guitar. Now I'm not terrible and I can keep track. But it was just a song. It was just a set of lyrics that I'd written. I didn't put music to it till about last summer, maybe last spring. But as you know, I mean, it's a love story, and I wrote it, and the middle verse was how I was going to propose to my ex. And that's really, that's really what the motivation was, you know? And that's where that came from. And I always wanted to be a storyteller, you know? And, obviously, I mean, I read books, and I like to think that, I'm decently spoken, and I always wanted to write a story like that, and it worked out. I wrote another one. I'm actually probably going to release it in the next few months, probably maybe next month. It's called Choose, and it's actually about, I guess, a choice. You know, it's about the choice: do I pursue the girl, or do I pursue the music? You know, it's a sort of like that. But that's what Happens Next is about. And then I came up with the little jingle, you know, the chords around it. Last spring, and it turned out pretty good, man. I got super lucky with my producer, to be honest with you.
Yeah, who produced it?
A guy named Bill Warner. He's in Nashville. I actually got connected with him because over here in Alabama, I live in the middle of the state, and everybody stops there. So there's this big exit. Well, we are the big exit, and it's called the Big Peach Exit. Because we are known for our peaches in the area, and where everybody stops, grabs ice cream. It's a huge deal, you know. I mean, there's gas, you know. There's a huge store there, boutique, bunch of cool things that the kids can do there. It's a pretty big area, pretty big venue, and we actually played a gig there. Me, my dad, and my dad's my bass player. My brother, he was co-lead man at the time, and we were just playing music, you know, minding our own business, and a guy named Chad. He used to be a talent scout for a few labels in Nashville. They were just passing through, him and his wife. He's retired, and they stopped to get gas, and he was like, wow, their sound system's gotten a lot better because they always stopped there. And they came through. We were playing Simple Man, actually, and they came up there, and they're like, holy crap, this is actually a live band. This is really awesome. And he fell in love with me, fell in love with the band, and he got me connected with Bill and all of those guys. And dude, the guys that did my music are freaks. They're absolutely, they're unbelievable. My guitarist, what's his name? I'm losing it. Crap. He's Reba McEntire's guitarist.
Oh wow. Okay.
Yeah, the drummer. He recorded all of James Arthur's album.
Cool.
He's recorded with all of these guys. They're household names in Nashville, you know. They're
sure,
just studio
yeah.
artists, and they had never even heard my songs before they stepped into the studio.
Wow.
They showed them the Nashville chart of the song and how the music was played, and they said, "Oh, okay." And they sat down and played the song. I was like, "Oh my god, these guys are unbelievable."
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was really cool, man.
Did they do Clouds too?
Yeah, they did. They did Clouds, Choose, and What Happens Next in about 3 hours.
That's awesome. And the instrumentation on Clouds is so cool. That one's definitely a change of pace from What Happens Next.
Well, I also, like, because that's what I was raised on, that bluesy, you know, almost Chris Stapleton feel.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was raised around. My dad was in blues bands, you know, and he taught me how to have feel and that respect. And that's what I wanted. That's the kind of music that I kind of want to do. And, you know, obviously the people have gravitated more towards What Happens Next because it's just mainstream.
Sure, yes.
It's a good mainstream melody, and it's catchy, and it's good background music, you know?
It is. I could totally hear it going on radio, you know? That would be...
Sure.
Yeah.
Exactly, and it wouldn't skip a beat, you know?
No, definitely not.
And nobody would be like, oh, this song's trash. You know?
Right? Oh, totally. But it would fit right in.
Yeah, it'd fit right in. It's just one of those mainstream songs. And I think that's the reason people are gravitating toward it. But my favorite is Clouds because it just allowed me to do more with my vocals. And it was just it's just a good sound, you know. And I enjoy it, but you have to listen to it. It's not casual, really.
Right, right.
And I think that's the reason that people are gravitating more towards What Happens Next. But Choose is more mainstream as well.
Yeah, but Clouds is a really cool song. I definitely enjoy it. So I guess as a guy, you know, kind of, you're independent, right?
Yeah.
How do you choose, no pun intended, when to put a song out and what you're going to put out?
It's all about, well, the first two, I definitely knew What Happens Next was coming out first, for sure. Because I just thought that that's just it. You know, like, if I had a bigger following, I literally just popped up. I hadn't even played a show yet.
Right.
Right until this day, I haven't. If I had a bigger following, I know that wouldn't really catch traction, because it's just a good song. It's well put together. The music's great. And I just did a good job with it. And I knew I was going to come out with that one. And then it was just a toss up between Choose and Clouds. And I decided to go with Clouds just to mix up and keep it, you know, keep it a little bit more dynamic. And because Choose and What Happens Next, they do have the same modern, you know, contemporary feel, and Clouds is a little different. So I wanted to mix it up there. And that's the reason I went with Clouds second.
Sure. Yeah. I think that makes a lot of sense. So you say you haven't played a single show yet?
As yourself? Correct. I haven't played a single show.
Wow. That is crazy.
I know it. I know it really is. Our band, hilariously enough, it was called, until we have to fully rebrand the Me, but it was called Better Than Nothing. and we played weddings, and we played bars, and we played, you know, different events, and we had a good time.
Yeah, yeah.
People enjoyed it, and that was a lot of fun. But as my band, I haven't played a single show, man.
So you're kind of working backwards from, I guess, the traditional, you know, kind of come up with. 100%. Yeah, what's that been like? How have you gone about?
It's been fun, honestly. It's been fun. I have, because of baseball, I have a pretty extensive network of people that know who I am at the very least. It's mainly on Facebook, and that's the reason I felt fine with it, because I knew I was going to get shows. In total honesty, once I get my foot in the door, I think we're going to start rolling, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I really do, because, a lot of people can do it in the studio, but they can't do it live.
Right.
Know? And, I like to think that that's one of the things that separates me, because I can. I know I can, and I think that's going to give me an upper hand once I get these shows booked. And I already have a few booked, but that's the reason I felt fine with releasing them before I started playing, honestly, because I had a decent following already. When we play in Birmingham, when we play Montgomery, when we play my hometown, people are going to be there, just because they kind of know who I am a little bit. And the core group of my people are definitely going to be there, ready to get rowdy. So, I felt fine by doing that, you know, and it's going to work out. I know it will. But once this coronavirus goes away, I think we'll start picking up some steam.
Yeah. And you talk about, you know, being able to do it live. Do you think that baseball or sports at all in general have an impact on that? I'm curious your perspective.
Well, yeah, maybe from the nerves aspect. I've never been nervous in any respect at all. When it didn't, and even growing up, you know, I just never really had nerves. My dad was pretty tough on me growing up in terms of productivity on the baseball field and on the football field, on the basketball court. So he had such a high bar with me growing up that I had no nerves when I hit the college level and I had to produce, because it didn't really bother me anymore. You know, I was just used to it. So I could walk out in front of, you know, I could play a 3-game set against Arkansas and there'd be, you know, 10,000-15,000 people there. And it didn't really bother me. I learned to enjoy it. You know, I just learned to not get wrapped up in the nerves and the fear of failure, and more so the joy of the opportunity. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah. I mean, you get out on those SEC levels, that's pretty huge, especially what you said, South Alabama.
We had a good club. We probably should have won the regional. We beat Mississippi State, and then I had to turn around and play us again because Southern Miss was just better, man. But
yeah,
it was that did kind of prime me for the stage. I have no problem in terms of public speaking. At the end of the day, my mom and dad they've pretty much taught me that as long as you're the most unadulterated, I guess, the most genuine version of yourself. There's really nothing else you can do. You know, if people like it, that's great. If people don't like it, that's great. You don't do it for them. You just do it because you love it.
Totally.
And that's what I do, you know. And if people don't like me, that's totally okay. You know, I'm a dime a dozen. You know, there's people like me all over the place, and you can find your guy. But I'm not going to get nervous or adapt to somebody the way they think I should look or sound. That's just not my thing. I want to be who I am, you know, because that's the part of the art that's important.
Totally. And I think that's kind of the way country music's going. You know, I mean, there's obviously all this pop country out there. I don't think that you fall into that. I think that you're more in the traditional country aspect, but still have a modern sound.
I think honestly, man, the more I grow and the more connections I make, I want to do it all, dude. I don't want to fall into a bucket. You know,
yeah.
I want to do what makes me happy. And I was raised around R&B, so hey, let's do an R&B song. I'm one of the biggest Justin Bieber fans of all time because he's the most successful dude on the planet.
Yeah.
Let's do a Justin Bieber song. I don't care. I just want to do it. I want to enjoy it. I know it'll be fine. I know it'll sound good. I just want to do music. You know, it's not necessarily country. It has been lately just because I'm from Alabama and I can't get rid of this accent. But I just want to do music, you know, and that's what's important to me.
So do you look up to guys then like Sam Hunt or maybe Dan and Shay who kind of cross over a little bit?
I look up to Dan and Shay, Thomas Rhett, Chris Stapleton, obviously, FGL. I look up to those kind of guys because mainly they can just do it live. You know, I don't want to go to and I'm never going to mention names, but I don't want to go to a concert and go there and be like, dang, this isn't what I anticipated,
yep.
You know?
Definitely been
because they're
kind
too
of...
wrapped up in the production of it and not enough wrapped up in the music, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I came to hear good music. I didn't come here to watch you guys dancing a lot, you know?
Right, yeah, yeah.
And that's just the way I am. Most people apparently don't care. But for me, I want to hear good vocals. I want to hear good music, and that's what I'm there for. And those guys, I mean, dude, Dan and Shay rips, dude.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
I haven't gotten to see them live yet, but I definitely want
Incredible.
To.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible. Chris Stapleton, obviously, is unbelievable.
He's so good.
Luke Combs, he does well live. He does really well.
Yeah.
People like that, dude. It's just so important to me that these guys are actually, they have the talent, and they're not just a face that they can put auto-tune on, you know?
Right. That's definitely huge, especially in this genre. Yeah. So then I guess you talk about good music. Who are you listening to right now? What you've been playing on Spotify or whatever?
Oh, dude, let me check it out real quick. You're going to laugh. I listen to country some, but not a whole bunch, dude. I'm electronic. I have a little bit of rap. I've kind of gravitated away from rap, but, let me check it out real quick.
Is Justin Bieber going to pop up?
Always, dude. Obviously, you got Bieber, you got Illenium, you got Matoma, Boy in Space, Diplo.
Okay.
Caden. Caden's probably my favorite artist, like, no doubt.
Okay.
Like, he's kind of under the radar, but he makes hits, dude. He's awesome.
You heard about that Diplo Country album that's coming out?
Stop it.
Yeah. He's got a song with Thomas Rhett and Young Thug.
No way,
yup.
Yo, that's the reason I gained so much respect for Thomas Rhett, because if you go to his albums, I'm actually going to look it up right now.
He's got things that are all over the map.
Right, yeah. You go to Life Changes. It's made in 2017. And literally, like, you know, it's a classic traditional album for country. And then the song Leave Right Now is on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an EDM banger. Like, out of nowhere.
Yeah, no, that's very impressive.
Like, that's so awesome to me. I just want to mix it up like that and enjoy it.
Yeah, so I totally get that. You didn't mention Sam Hunt when you were reading all those, when you were naming all those guys that you look up to, but is he one of them too?
Sam Hunt, yeah, he's good. I think he, like, the way his style of music, like, I wouldn't be able to sing it because he talks a lot, you know, and it's a lot of words, and sometimes it's even rap.
Right, right.
But, he nails it, you know, that's his style, and he's great at it. I listen to his music, but in terms of, I guess, mentorship, I don't even know how we would start, you know?
No, right.
Just because we're so different. You know, he's literally a storyteller, and he mixes in a few different keys, you know? Whereas the other guys, I mean, they're just so, you can tell they're just vocally trained.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Sam Hunt played football at UAB. You know, he was kind of like me in that respect. Dated a girl from about 30 minutes away from where I live, and he just happened to fall into music.
Right.
You know, as opposed to those guys, I mean, they study it.
Right. And so, you haven't studied it, but you chose to pursue it. You didn't fall into it.
That's correct. Yeah. I mean, I never studied it until now.
But you've played it forever, right? So.
But yeah, but I've played it. I've been around it forever. I mean, my dad, like I said, he was in a blues band. Dude, they had their front man. It's funny. He used to, his name was, they called him Master James. He used to get a bus ticket from Chicago, and they would buy him a bus ticket because he lived in Chicago and bus him down for every show.
Oh, wow. That's intense. Yeah. He must have been real good.
Oh, he was a freak, dude. Literally, when they would practice, obviously they had like 10 or 15 songs that they knew, but the rest of the set, they played for 4 hours, dude. 10 songs,
damn, yeah.
10, 12 songs, that's one set, dude. That's an hour and 15 minutes. So the rest of the set, they would literally he'd be like, he'd stand in the front, and he had his electric guitar, and he'd just start playing chords. And then everybody else would kind of just fall in, and he would just make up stuff. Like, it was actually the most out of control. But the thing is, it's good. And he would play the guitar with his teeth, and he was a wild man. But they were good, dude. And that's kind of what I watched growing up, you know. And I watched how to have a good time and how to feel it and let it come to you. And that's really what I was raised on. I never really studied in terms of theory, but it's almost all feel for me.
I think that's the most important part, and that's what's super impressive. You know, when you get on that live stage, you're totally gonna kill it. I think.
I appreciate that. It was frustrating at first, you know. It's hard to get your foot in the door because nobody, like, when you go up to a bar and you say, hey, I mean, who do I need to speak to in terms of getting on your schedule to play music? They don't take you serious, mainly because they don't know who you are, and they have a circle of people that they let play there in this little circuit. And if you're new, it's almost like, he's probably trash, he's probably not even that good at karaoke, and they just keep it moving, you know? And rightly so, I totally understand that. But when you're where I'm at, and I'm like, guys, I promise you, you'll have a good time, you know? I'm going to add value to the bar that night for sure. It's really frustrating, but I finally got my foot in the door, so hopefully we're good on that front now.
Yeah, I mean, once you can start playing again, who knows when that'll be, but... Hopefully soon. Do you think that having songs on Spotify helps with that too? Kind of gives you some legitimacy?
Yeah, absolutely. At the very least, a little bit. And they do want to hear live stuff, or at least like me and within a guitar, you know, and take all the effects away. And honestly, that's the way I enjoy it.
You know?
I mean, the effects are cool in the studio, but I enjoy getting the opportunity to just prove that I'm not some studio singer. You know, I can do it for real.
Right.
And that's really one of my favorite things to do. So every time they do that, I'm like, okay, cool. Let's do it.
Yeah, and I saw that you just put on Instagram a little snippet of a new song. What's it called? A Heart Attack?
Yeah. And that's going to be on the album.
Yeah, that one sounded real cool, and that's acoustic in there. So I totally see that.
It's going to – that one's going to be a banger for sure, dude. If we can get that produced the right way, that's going to be sick.
Yeah.
I actually just wrote another one as well to cap off the album. And it's called, what am I even going to call it? Let me go to my notes. That's where all my songs are. I don't write songs up top of my notes. It is, let's name the song right here on the podcast.
All right, I like it. Call it Big Peach Exit.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. This one's going to be called Let You Go.
Okay.
And it's really good. It's more mainstream, you know. I have a few soul bluesy songs, and I'm trying to keep it, you know, diverse, so it's not just, it doesn't sound like just one song for an hour, you know?
Yeah, no, I love that. That's very important.
Yeah, but hopefully we can get that recorded within the next year or so and get her put out. What's going to fund that is these events that I'm going to have to play at if they ever let me.
Yeah, do you have an album title yet?
No, dude, I haven't thought about it.
Telling you, Big Peach Exit, there you go.
Dude, I honestly, if I do that, I might give you like 5-10%.
I don't need that, but I'm excited for that album. What was the coolest part of just writing a whole album, I guess, over quarantine, really?
It kind of, the coolest part is it just happened, you know? I mean, I have nothing but time on my hands.
Yeah.
So it just kind of happened. Like, I'd be sitting in my room and I'm like, all right. So I just start playing the guitar and I'll get a little jingle on the guitar going on whatever capo I want to play on, because I'm not good enough to play bar chords. And I'll be like, oh, this sounds good. And then I'll start humming, or I have an idea in my head that I want to write about, and I'll find the chords to it. Or I already have a melody on the chords or a jingle on the chords. Now I just need to put words to that. And then I just throw them together. And obviously some ideas suck and some ideas are good. But in general, I mean, luckily enough, most of my ideas have stuck. So it's been pretty cool. And then before you know it, I got 12 songs, you know?
Yeah. I mean, here's what I'm thinking. You know, you went to The Voice, right? And they said that you didn't have the story, but now you got your story. You wrote your first album in quarantine and you were working backwards without playing shows. And I think that all adds up to a really good journey, in my opinion.
That's true. That's actually true. Yeah, dude, it does suck that I didn't make the show.
Right. That would have been cool for
sure.
Who
knows? And who knows? They might call me back and I might do get another private audition. That happens.
Yeah.
But, it's okay that I didn't make the show, you know, because it just, even though I didn't make it, I knew why I didn't make it, and it wasn't because I wasn't good enough.
Yeah.
And that's important.
No, that's huge.
Yeah, and that's, that was big for me, but I guess I do kind of have a story now, huh?
You really do, I think. That's pretty exciting.
That was funny.
All right, well, before you go real quick, I got to ask you, you know, I'm a sports guy. What positions do you play in baseball?
I actually grew up a pitcher.
Okay.
I was a PO and all of that. And I threw until I was about 15 years old, verbally committed to Florida State, shattered all my growth plates in my left arm.
Oh man. How'd you do that?
Yeah, because I'd literally throw 120 pitches and then go sit down with a case of Sprite and a dip when I was 14, and never cared for my arm, so that's what happens.
Yeah.
And then I had to figure out how to hit, so I turned into an outfielder. And,
oh, there you go.
I figured that out, and here we are, you know. I played outfield at South, and ended my career, had a blast, and it was a good time, man. It really was. I'm extremely blessed, and I know that for sure. I'm very fortunate to do what I did.
So there you have it, Cam Cummings, man. If he isn't one of the brightest up-and-coming talents, I don't know what to tell you. I love the openness he has to new genres and new ideas, and doesn't want to really get pigeonholed, which I think is so important. You know, can't wait for that single with Justin Bieber going to come out someday, hopefully. That'll pop up on Spotify. I just think his story and everything. He says he doesn't have a story, but again, I'm pretty sure he's got a story now. Just working backwards is so unique, and I think he's really got what it takes to excel, you know, in this genre, and he's going to be someone to watch out for a long time. So that new album, again, coming soon. Make sure to keep your eye out for it. You can follow him on Twitter at Cameron Lenz Music and on Instagram at Cam Cummings Music. So definitely make sure to give him a follow, give him a, you know, support him on Spotify, get those streams up, and keep an eye out for that album. Maybe it will be called Big Peach Exit. Who knows? But that is it now here for the first ever edition of Up and Country. Hopefully you enjoyed it, and hopefully you tune in next time. Got a couple more episodes coming out over the next couple weeks, and then we'll see where we go from there. So thank you all for tuning in. Hope you enjoyed. I'm Mike Everard. See you next time.
For more, make sure to check out Up and Country on Twitter and follow @Blaze_Country. New episodes coming every week, so make sure to keep that.